All right, if you go ahead and take the first Sunday morning offering, we can have our ushers come, please. And if you would be turning in your hymnbooks to page 385.
I was just thinking about that, we're gonna already forgot, thank you.
Pastor reminded me, we got our youth offering this morning. I've already thought about it like a couple times this morning, and I'm like, no, I forgot, but. Got people around here reminding us of stuff. But we do have two offerings this morning. So when they come through the first time, the gold plates, that's your regular tithes and free will offerings. The silver plate is our flower fund, and that's for, that flower fund, is that for these flowers, or that's for funeral flowers? Yeah, that's for flowers for when you have folks at funerals and stuff, so that's what that is. Then when they come through the second time, they're gonna take up for a youth fund, and out of that, they pay, anytime our youth go on a trip, they pay for the youth to do. So keep that in mind, and so page 385. I don't know, two verses might be enough. This is a slow song, but we're gonna do three just to make sure they have time. I always hate, like, don't rush the ushers if you wanna get offerings, right? That's, you don't do that. So, okay, page 385, we'll do the first, second, and last verse. And Brother Dalton, would you pray for the offering for us, please?
Lord, I thank you for bringing us to the day, Lord.
There's never a time when it would be inappropriate.
Right.
excited, like us husbands, that we got a gift when we give our wife or a surprise for our children or something. We'll say, man, we're just dying to be able to do that for them. He literally died to give that to us. He wants us to come. It's not going to cost him more because you come today. He's already paid all his debt. He wants you to come. So come this morning if you're the available. But we do need to come pray this morning. Before we do that, birthdays. Who's had a birthday this past week or anniversary? Amen. Who is it? Tell them. Oh, it's my brother Charles and Miss Jerry. All right, so let's sing happy birthday. Yeah. Let's sing happy birthday to these two, and then we'll sing happy anniversary to brother Charles and Miss Jerry.
Happy birthday to you. Just one will not do.
Amen. Amen. Do you remember that? that's always a big blessing for people to bring the food when we got something going on like that. And I know some ladies at the home group brought us food after Ed and Deezer was born. Christina's like, at least I got to cook. At least I got to cook. You know, she's kind of, man, that 2-hour feeding schedule, and that's 2 hours from start to start, not from finish to start. So lazy as he is about eating, it's more like an hour and a half. I don't see how, like, the house isn't, like, falling down and the kids ain't running around naked. I mean, like, I don't see how they're getting anything else done. Man, but that's, I think we have good reason to appreciate our wives. I think that's what I'm saying, you know. but God gives grace. If you remember them, remember seeing and she gets healed up from that surgery there. Are they still feeling like this, that it has done good? I mean, is it, has anybody said anything, or?
Shop her heart back into it. And what they had said was,
the shocking back and rhythm may not last, and that lasting is not so much what they're interested in. Doctor told Dad, he said, don't matter if it's 10 days or 10 seconds. He said, if it goes back in rhythm, then what that means is that there's a cauterization they can do on the right side of her heart that will very likely bring her heart back in rhythm permanently. So the shocking really is a test to see if that procedure is probably going to work. And he said, if it doesn't do anything to bring it back in rhythm, then probably she's looking to have a pacemaker. So just pray for Mom and that. But I just really appreciate how the Lord's helped her and how she's been able to breathe. She's been able to go with that church, as far as I know. So that's a far cry from where she was. So really just appreciate the Lord working and helping on that. Appreciate the Lord helping little Ed. He's eating a little bit better, and he's starting to gain some weight. And you know, that creates a little bit of a feedback loop that, you know, the supply's a little better. So, you know, I think we're probably going to be able to fatten him up a little bit. I say we. I don't really have a lot to do with that. But, you know, anyway, I appreciate the Lord answering prayers. I always, you know, I worry that I'm going to pray and ask the Lord for stuff and then just not even bother to thank you when he answers. And I'm afraid I do that anyway, but I want to at least make an effort. You know what I mean? I want to be ungrateful. Because where does that, and I think you preached on that recently, preacher, where's that section? Oh, I think it's Romans chapter 1, where the very first step is unthankfulness.
Yeah.
Right? So we don't even want to take that first step, you know, going down that wrong road, getting away from the Lord. So anybody else got a request you want to make mention of this morning before we come pray?
I had
tomorrow
yesterday,
come
back to the
Okay. Yes, amen. Remember Preacher Billy too.
Amen.
I've seen Preacher Terrell on the way to church, passed out all the time to come to church, so evidently he must be better. Did he end up getting to do that funeral?
He's able to do it, yeah. He's getting to be close to nobody.
Sure.
He done good, though.
Okay. And then remember this. Yeah, I think there's several that's had three family members recently. Brother Jesse and Brother Matthew both have had deaths in the family, so.
Need to pray for our schools.
Yes.
Nick was telling me the other day that he heard that this year, if your kid misses 10 days of school, whether they have notes or not, they're going to hold the parents responsible and charge them for a misdemeanor and hold the parent accountable, even if you got notes of your kid going to the doctor or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that probably some people want to look into. Did they say that was county, or has that heard anything coming down from the state? No.
It was from a girl that Ashley went to school with.
Uh-huh.
I had taken the kids to the park for library day, and I was talking to the girl, and that's what she had told me. That, you know, this year, if the kids need 10 days or more, they can take you to court and charge
you on the But did she say anything about state or county? Okay. Yeah, but just either way, regardless,
yeah.
You know, we see the situation in the schools right now. So just pray. And remember the people that are running these school systems are elected officials.
Yeah.
It makes a difference if you call them. They want to be voted back in, right? Yeah. And if the people on the other side are the only ones calling, guess what's fine? Yeah. I mean, you know, we ain't got kids in school, but... You know, I talked to my guy the other day about this Title IX stuff because it doesn't matter whether my kids are in school or not. I still get to vote on the people. So they don't care whether I have kids in school or not. Because if I call them, guess what they know? I ain't going to take the time to call them and then not show up on election day. I mean, there is zero out of zero people who are going to take the effort to call a politician and then I'm not going to go vote unless they're sick or dead. Right? I mean, it's just not, you know. So just keep this stuff in mind. It makes a difference. It really does. Yes. Yes, that was the other one I was trying to think of. Yeah. Do you know, is he still doing okay? Okay. Should we continue to remember this? All right, that's all. So I'll move right. Thank you.
note here says, sign up if you want to park at Christmas Play. Would you, you want to meet with the youth again after service?
No, that's all night.
Okay. All right. It says, I see this says, sign up if you want to park at Christmas Play. So, even if you don't want to park, go ahead and get in there anyway. It'll be good for you. You'll enjoy it. Anyways, it's good to be in the Lord's house. I want to thank God for having mercy on us. Thank God for saving us when we were lost. Thank God for allowing us to have a place to come in and worship. I'm looking forward to this week. We're going to have a revival meeting. That's what it is. It's a meeting.
Yeah.
Not guaranteed revival. But if you want it, you can have it.
Yeah.
If you want it, you can have it. I can promise you that. Amen. I want it. I need it.
Yeah.
We all need it, but you have to see your need. I can't see your need for you. I can see your need.
Right.
You can probably see my need. You spend enough time around me. But I got to see my need.
Yeah. Amen.
And you got to see your own need.
Yeah.
And then we can have a Bible. Amen. But I've been looking forward to it. We prayed for the preachers that's coming this week. And God just use them, help them. And just be having your heart ready. Be willing. That's all it takes. Be willing and desire. I'm glad my wife's here with me this morning.
Amen. Yeah.
I miss her when she's gone. I miss her this morning. This last night, I'm moving for Sunday school.
Yeah. Amen.
When I go to church, that's, you know, that's something that needs to be. My wife needs to be there. That's just what it is. I need an emergency babysitter for service times whenever my kids get sick. So I can, like, you know, we all need to volunteer for that. Anyways, all right. Does anybody got a special song they want to sing before we get started this morning?
Joy divine, leading on the everlasting.
was, I'm not used to doing this. I've never played in such a same time, so we tried. You know, we go through battles, we go through trials, and the Lord has a reason for that. He has a purpose. And once he brings us through it, we see that his will is the best way.
Amen.
We appreciate it so much more. Listen to the words, but not the way you do this, because this is the words that count.
Talking about the need to rebuild the walls.
preached again in chapter 2, talked about preparing ourselves to build the walls, and we preached again. We preached some in a couple different chapters, and ended there in chapter 6. He was talking about the opposition we'll face rebuilding the walls.
Yeah, amen.
Now we want to look at chapter number 6, and we're going to look some at chapter number 7, and we're going to look some at chapter number 8. And I'm not going to preach through all these, don't worry. I just want to start here in chapter 6, and I'm going to preach on this thought, the result of having the wall built. The results of having the wall built. So, in chapter number 6 of Nehemiah, in verse 15, we'll begin reading, it says, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. It came to pass, when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, that they were much cast down in their own eyes,
yeah,
for they perceived this work was wrought of our God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Pray, God, be that your blessing to the reading of it, to the preaching out. God, may you speak to your people. May you be glorified. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. Now, we'll talk about the results of building the wall. Now, we've been talking about this, and I've been looking at this about rebuilding this wall. We're talking about a spiritual wall.
Yeah.
And how that it's necessary to keep things out. It's necessary to have these gates to allow things in that need to be in. And we need to allow things to come in and out that need to be there. There's some things that need to be kept out and stay out.
Yeah.
We talked about how that over generations these walls have been torn down. And we have a responsibility. We have an opportunity to rebuild these walls, just as Nehemiah did in his day, to go back and to see and to realize and to have our eyes open to see that the walls are in disarray and they need rebuilt. We can see that. And I hope that, like me, that you've been praying about this, been prepared, realizing this is not a task that can, you know, just happen overnight. It's something that takes time. That's why I preached a series on this. Hopefully you've made some headway with that. Hopefully the Lord's helped you. You grew and you've begin to build that wall. You begin to rebuild some things and put some things out and keep some things out. And I said, praise God for that.
Yeah.
Strength comes from the Lord. We understand that our strength is from Him. We understand also that we have a responsibility to be obedient to the Spirit of God. And to act according to how He puts things on our heart to act and to do. And so we want to look today as anything you go to do, you want to sort of understand what the end result is, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to go about to restore old car, and some of you men, I know preacher Bill, you've had a couple nice little cars, maybe, and how many of y'all have had some cars? You like that kind of stuff. But whenever you're working on something like that, it'll help you if you see one just like it that's already been done.
Yeah.
Won't it?
Yeah.
You say, man, that's what mine's going to look like when I get it done. Or we're building a house. My wife, she likes to look at houses, and she'll look all the time. She'll say, that's not what our house is going to look like. We're going down the road summers. You know, I'll be trying to drive sensibly, responsibly. The next thing I know, you know, there's this painter coming across my face, you know. She's screaming at me. I'm thinking about to run over a small child or something. She's just trying to go out of the house. But it looks, you know, at least if it's anywhere in the 10% range, you being close to what our house is going to look like, she's going to want that. You know, our house is going to be white, I think. If it's a white house, if we was going by Washington, D.C., she'd be saying, that's going to look like our house. I mean, we could go by, you know, a crematorium. If it's white, that's going to look like our house. I'm just kidding, but you know, if we see something like that and we're able to see the end result, it helps us. And it gives us a visualization. It gives us an idea of what we can expect. And a lot of times it will help encourage us to keep going, right? A lot of y'all, you've worked and you know, you've been working a job for a long time, and you know people, you've seen people that's been able to retire, you know, they've been able to live a retired life more comfortably, and you say, I want that. And you see the result of that, and you say, well, I want to work hard for that. You know what I'm saying? And so you're able to see that. And that's what we want to look at here this morning, not to say that we've necessarily arrived or we've got the walls where they ought to be, because like I said, I don't think that that's something that happens overnight. I believe it does take time, and it does take dedication. We looked at all that, but we want to look at the results of it so that we can be encouraged this morning to keep on. And so that I pray too that also that some of these results that we can already begin to benefit from, even without having the walls completely finished, so to speak. But as we're working and as we're laboring, a lot of these things we can enjoy. We can glory in some of these results even now. The first one being this, it says in chapter 6, verse 15, it says that when the wall was finished, verse 16, it says, it came to pass that when our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Like we talked about the opposition, and how that the world does not want to see you building a wall. The world does not want to see you keeping out things that need to be kept out. The world does not want to see you being transformed according to the renewing of your mind. The world wants you to be conformed to its own image. And that's what Satan wants. That's what Satan tries to do. And everyone who's never been born again, their spiritual father is who? It is Satan, according to the word of God. And so they will, therefore, they will buck you and fight you every step of the way if you're seeking to do anything to glorify God and to live a life that glorify God. They'll say, the world will tell you, they'll say, well, you're just being a holy roller, you're being a little bit too much, you're being just a little bit radical. They'll say things like, well, how can you reach people when you're just so out of touch? Hey, I'll tell you this, you've never in your life been too heavenly to be of any earthly good, amen? Right. But a matter of fact, you can definitely be too worldly to be of any heavenly good.
Amen.
Don't ever let Satan tell you the lie or nobody else. And I would say it's a lie out of hell anytime anybody says anything of the nature of saying that you should be less biblical,
right,
or that you should be to be more relatable. That's the lie that's being told today, that we need to be relatable.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I'm telling you this, I've been a sinner before. I can be relatable.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I was lost once. Amen?
Yeah,
I can be relatable. But praise God, I've been born again.
Amen.
I don't have to live like hell right now to be relatable to somebody.
Right. Amen.
Amen? Hey, I'm saying this, Jesus never sinned. Amen?
Right.
But he understands and he understood what the sinner's heart was. And he was able to be relatable. Amen.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with living like the world, acting like the world, to be relatable. And so whenever the enemies see that, the enemies see these walls begin to come up, they bring opposition. We talked about that. But then when they see that these walls are not coming down, that the opposition's not doing any good, it says they begin to get cast down in their own heart, praise God. It says that, and you say, well, that's not sad. Well, sad for them, praise God for me, amen.
Yeah,
if you're a child of God, praise God for you. You know why? Because there's people that just like in Stephen's day, they gnash at the teeth, they love to just see you thrown down in a ditch and stoned to death. There's people that hate God, and they hate you for loving God. Hey, I want to tell you, there's probably more of them around now than there was in the day when they beheaded Paul, when they crucified Peter upside down, when they poisoned John, whenever they went through and they slaughtered them like sheep to the slaughter, the disciples and the followers of God. There's probably more people like that today than there was then.
Amen.
And if they could, they'd have their way.
Yeah.
Amen? But yet, it says that they begin to get cast down. This is one of the results of building the wall. That the enemies begin to be cast down on their own side.
Yeah.
They begin to say, you know what? Maybe I ain't as big and bad as I thought I was. Maybe I can't just do all I thought. You know why? Because they realize their authority, their power, they realize it's limited. They realize this one that's following God, that his or her power, that it's without limit. Why? Because God is without limit.
Amen.
God's the one that's doing this. I will tell you this right now. Whenever we begin to live a life that glorifies God, we begin to build up in walls and things so we can pat ourselves on the back.
Right, amen.
That ain't going to do nothing for nobody.
Right.
You know why? Because you're just as weak as the next man or woman.
Yes, amen.
And it ain't going to take but a little bit of taunting and a little bit of pressure. You'll succumb to that. But if you're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, the world sees that. They realize this work that's going on in your life, it ain't something you've done because you ain't been going around bragging on yourself, but you've been bragging on the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. They realize it's a work that God's done with His own hands. Amen. Amen. I am a piece of clay that God has molded. Praise God. Amen. Amen. That's what you are.
Yeah.
If you've been saved, you are a piece of clay. God's molding for His own glory. And I say glory to God for it. So our enemies will realize. And it says that they'll be cast down in their own hearts. I've told you this before, and I'll tell you this again, just because it's relatable. At work, there's been times before that I've had some decent people I work with. I don't like most of them, just to be honest. And you know what? They probably know that. They don't like me either. But I still love them.
Yeah, hey.
And I've witnessed to them. I do the best I can to give them the truth. That's all I can do. But a lot of them are very worldly, so to speak. Even a lot of them claim to be Christian are very worldly. And anyways, long story short, anytime I've ever got on any kind of subject they don't like, a lot of times I've had several of the years that they'll get mad if it's about homosexuality or if it's about abortion, or if it's just about saying that Jesus is the only way.
Yeah.
They'll get mad. I've had on several occasions say that there's some good tale, and two or three or four more jump in and say, yeah, you need to go tell management, and you know, it's something. The next thing you know, it's this whole mob. You know, and it's just one against me, against this mob. But then, when it's just me, ain't nothing much I can do. But then my great big God comes in.
Yeah.
He gets a hold of my heart. He lifts up my voice. And He says, son, go and stand on that wall and tell him.
Yeah.
And I, you know what I do? I get out there, I said, you go ahead and tell him. You let him send me home. I don't care. The Bible tells me, blessed are you when you're persecuted. Hey, I don't care if they fire me or give me more time on my hands to come preach to you. I'll stand on your front porch and preach to you. I'll follow you down the road and preach to you. I'll walk behind you in Walmart or the grocery store and preach to you. You go ahead. I'll keep a preaching. I'll keep a glorifying God. You know what all of a sudden that mob does? They get to getting quiet. You know why? Because they're cast down on their own side. Because the walls is up and God's big enough and they realize that they ain't no match for Him.
Yeah,
yeah.
Amen.
And that means another result of building walls in chapter 7. It says in chapter 7, verse 1, that when it came to pass, when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors and the porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed, I gave my brother Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man, and feared God above many. And I said to them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot, while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them, and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch, everyone to be over against his house. Now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded. In verse 5 it says, and my God put into my heart to gather together the nobles and the rulers and the people, that they might be written by genealogy. And I found a register of the genealogy of them which came up at the first, and found written therein. He goes on to name the genealogy, but the point being here is that he put it in his heart to gather some people together.
Yeah.
When the walls are built up, you'll have a burden in your heart to gather some people to the house of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To gather some people to God. It don't have to be just nobles and rulers. He said nobles, rulers, and all people. It means everybody. Great and small. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter where they come from. You know what everybody's got in common. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what family he was born into, what your last name was. Every human being that's ever been born has this in common. They need Jesus. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Everyone that's ever been born, they got the same need. That's they need to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, that they might be forgiven of sins, and that they might be pardoned from all their iniquity, that they might have been passed from death into life, that they be spared a devil's hell where there's fire and torment for eternity, and that they've been given the gracious, wonderful present of heaven, the kingdom, and eternity with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with God our Father. Every person has that need to be saved. They have a need for Jesus. And whenever we got those walls stood up, I would say this, whenever we got the walls laying in desolation, whenever the city lies in ruins, that's what it is. Whenever the church is being run by the world, amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever that's going on, hey, I'll tell you what, you're ashamed to invite anybody to church. You know why? Because the church ain't no different than the world is. And people say, and the churches that do flourish in that, hey, I'll say that it's a sad thing because a lot of them folks ain't even saved. You know why? Because they're catering to the world. They're modifying the gospel. Paul said, woe is me if I preach any other gospel.
Yeah.
They're modifying the gospel to fit the world. They're taking the word of God, and rather than conforming their lives to the word of God, they conform the word of God to their lives.
Yeah.
It's dangerous business.
Amen.
That's why the Bible calls them heretics, and why the Bible calls them apostates, and so on and so forth. And I want to say this, that whenever, Solomon, you don't went to the bathroom, get up here and sit down. You ain't got to pee. Whenever you've got the walls built, you're living a life that glorifies God. There's not things coming in here that shouldn't be. There's not things coming in here. There's not things coming in here to set up and to bear sin and to bear lust and to bear greed and all these things. We're being careful what we're hearing. We're being careful what we're looking at. We're being careful what we're thinking on, what we're meditating on. Amen? All of a sudden, you begin to get this boldness. All of a sudden, you begin to get this burden. And all of a sudden, you're no longer ashamed. You got a burden. Just as Nehemiah said, God put his heart together, some people together. Amen. You'll get a burden together, people together in the house of God. Amen. Hey, I'm going to say this. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Amen.
Yeah.
Ain't you glad for that? I'm glad that it ain't in doing some kind of ritual that we would have trouble figuring out. We'd argue about it. Who's right, who's wrong. Hey, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Amen.
Amen.
I was reading in the Sunday school room about that blind man that God gave back his sight. And he said, they asked him, they said, tell us the truth. They said, now you know that this man was a sinner, and there ain't no way that he could have done this, that you could give God the glory and just tell us the truth. You admit to us that you know. He said, whether he be a sinner, he said, I don't know. He said, I can't tell you none of that. He said, all I know is I was blind, and now I see.
Yeah.
And then Jesus went and talked to him again. Jesus said to him, he said, do you believe in the Son of God? He said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe? He said, it is he that speaks with you. And he said, yes, Lord, I believe. And I'll tell you, there wasn't no baptism. There wasn't no altar for him to get down on. There wasn't no Baptist church for him to come to. It was the power of the gospel. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm glad of that this morning.
Yeah. Amen.
But now the Bible also says this. It says, how can they hear without a preacher?
Yeah.
They need to hear the gospel preached.
Amen.
Amen. So,
amen.
Give them the gospel, but gather them into the house of God.
Amen.
Let God give them his word, amen, that they might be saved, that they might be born again. So, another result of having the walls built and standing up the walls is having a burden together, those together. Again, look in Nehemiah in chapter number 8. I always want to preach this. Nehemiah chapter 8. I've never preached this. Nehemiah chapter 8. Don't start reading ahead. Just pay attention. I'll get there. But I've never been a preacher. You know why? Because in order to do so correctly, We have to make sure everybody had a good understanding of what was leading up to this, and we still don't. We would have to go through so much. We'd have to get over into Ezra. We'd have to get over into Chronicles. There's lots of things we would have to go over for us to really understand the gravity of the situation.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
In Nehemiah chapter 8. But let's read it. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1. The Bible says, and all the people listened to this. Pay close attention.
Yeah.
All the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake to Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read thereon before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people that were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathai and Shema and Anani and Urijah and Hilkiah and Messajah. On his right hand, on his left hand, Pedai and Mishael and Malchi and Hashum and Hashbadana and Zechariah and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. I almost want to start praying right there because I'm going to preach a little message.
Yeah.
But one of the results of having the wall built, reverence. Notice some things here. It says, first of all, they gathered themselves together and they said, bring out Ezra to open the book of the law, to open the word of God and to read it to us.
Yeah.
It wasn't a man of God saying, please, please, would you come into the house of God and hear what is the word of the Lord. They wasn't having to beg them. Whenever they had the wall built, they was begging him. They said, would you please just get out the word of God and read it to us?
Yeah.
And you know what? They wasn't looking at their watch neither. They wasn't worried about what time it was.
Amen.
It said that they started in the morning and they went to the midday. And it said that they was there and they stood there. It said, you know what else it said? It says they was attentive.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
They wasn't flicking paper footballs and blowing bubbles. You know why it was? It's because they had them walls built.
Yeah. Yeah.
When them walls start coming down and them invading forces start coming in, people come shaming. Yeah. Shouting amen, throwing your arms up, getting excited about God ain't got nothing to do with saying, well, I'm right and so's wrong. It's got to do with saying, I'm wrong. Praise God, He's right.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what it's got to do with reverence and God,
yeah,
worship and God. Realize who we are, where we come from, and who He is. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says this in verse number 7 of chapter 8. It says, also, Jeshua, Bani, Sheriba, Jamin, and all these other names, and Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading.
Yeah.
It said in verse 9, Nehemiah, which is the Tushatha and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God, more not nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. When they begin to reverence God, they begin to hear God's word. It didn't just go in one ear and out the other. They begin to weep. said they were worshiping God. They were putting their hands up saying amen. And then they began to understand what was being read to them. It said they began to cry. They began to weep. Why? Because they realized how much they had failed God. They realized what kind of sinners they were. See, all this time they've been in captivity. They've been sold into some other government. They said, Lord, where have you been? Why ain't you doing so? They're blaming God for all their problems. But then all of a sudden, when they realized just how unworthy they was, how good God was, how big God was, how powerful God was, they began to cry. And they said, God, soon you must let us die and go to hell a long time ago. Oh, what a God we've got that would spare us after all that we've done and the way we've treated Him. I want to say, what a God that I've got that spare me after the way I've treated Him over my life. And over your life, I want to say this. Ask yourself this question this morning. What kind of merciful God is He that He would allow you to breathe another breath, knowing every thought that's been through your mind, and every deed that you've done? Hey, I want to say He's a good God. He's a merciful God. And I want to say this. Hey, He's worthy of shedding a tear every now and then.
Amen.
When we realize just how miserable we are. But then look at what Nehemiah tells you. It says in verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them, for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. He said, you don't have to go around. He said, you know what? He said, I know how unworthy you feel. He said, I know how miserable of a wretch you understand and see that you are. He said, but understand this. He said, you don't have to leave here feeling that way.
Amen.
He said, you can let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Where's that joy? What is that joy? Where does it come from? It comes from His mercy, His goodness, His undeserved grace and blessing in our lives. Something we ain't earned, we couldn't earn, we couldn't attain it. He's done it all. He said, have joy in the Lord. And then you keep on reading there, and it says that they declared a feast. That's what I think they might have been the Baptist a little bit. They're like, hey, we just had a good service. Let's have a feast. You know what? Let's do it every year. We'll put a date to it. We'll put it in our bylaws, so to speak. I believe they were Baptist Jews. Maybe that's what we got from that.
Amen.
But I suppose that could be another result of building walls. More dinners, right? I know y'all like the idea of that. All right, don't be thinking about food too much. I'm almost done. All right, chapter 9. It says, now, in verse 1, now on the 20th and 4th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting, and with sackcloth and earth upon them, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers, and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, that's 6 hours, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. And I'm going to stop right there. I ain't going any further. I'm going to stop there in verse 3. Final result. Doing that all sanctification.
Yeah.
Said they separated themselves from the rest of the world. They said, we don't want to look like them. We don't want to act like them. They said, we want to be seen as God's children.
Okay.
And it said that they gave themselves to worship them by reading the book of the law, God's word. And it said that what did that do? It brought conviction to their heart. Simply sanctified doesn't mean you're without conviction.
Right.
To be sanctified means that you're living a life the best you can that glorifies God.
Yeah.
You ain't never going to be perfect.
Right.
You always going to deal with that conviction.
Yeah.
Always. No matter what you go through, you're always going to have things in your life that are not right with God.
Yeah.
But praise be to God, just like He told me, He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. He said, the strength of the Lord is the joy that He gives you and the mercy that He has in your life, that He's got for your life, the grace that He's putting down in your life right now. So it said that for a 4 day, 6 hours, it said that they read the book of the law, they were said they were under conviction, and then it said for another 6 hours, it said they confessed to God, and they glorified God, and they worshiped God. Amen. I want to go into this week able to worship God.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. There's a spot here in this altar I like to sit and pray at. Sometimes I come here on Saturday night and I'll start praying there. And I'll make my way around the church. And I'll go through every pew. I call out each and every one of you by name. But I always end back here in this spot. I come up here into the choir loft and for all the prayers. But I always come back and I end in that spot. Because that's what that altar's for. I start out glorifying God and confessing that I'm a sinner. I always end up doing the same thing. But He's good. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to go into this week and arrive this week. Not having anything in the way to stop me from worshiping God. I want to be able to have liberty to worship God as I go into this revival meeting with you. I need revival. Oh, how I need it. And I don't want to be a hindrance to myself and my family and nobody else. What I'm asking is, do you have a spot that you come to? My answer is, yes, you got a spot. It's available for you. Why don't you come? I just want to get down here this morning and pray with everyone else. If the Lord spoke to your heart, why don't you come to us? Okay.
everybody the same as after service, get lined up. I'll get some singers for this week. We're meeting. Y'all want some ice cream? Brother Matt McAdoo, would you dismiss us in word of prayer?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Thank you for the message you've given us, God, that God does the plot for our lives. Be with us as we can go for all the Lord, Lord, your attention when you get here. Be with us as we go on several ways and come back to them.